స్వామి శిల ప్రభుపాదకి, స్కాన్ బేబీ టిఫాన్ చారశిల ప్రభుపాదకి, నమచారశిల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి, వంశీ గౌ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాస గౌరవ భక్త బృందకి, శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప కపిన శ్యామకుంద రాధకుంద గిరి గోవర్ధన్కి, శ్రీ వృందావన దాముకి, శ్రీ మధురధాముకి, శ్రీ మాయపూర్ నవదీప్ దాముకి, శ్రీ జగన్నాథపురి శ్రీ క్షేత్రధాముకి, గంగమాయికి, యమునమాయికి, భక్తిదేవికి, తులసి మారానికి, సమయత భక్తి బృందకి, యుగ ధర్మ హరినామ సంకీర్తానికి, తాయి గౌర బ్రహ్మనంది హరే కృష్ణ ఆగ్లాస్ ఆగ్లస్ శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అని గౌరవ ఆగ్లస్ల ప్రభుపా నమ ఓం శ్రీ పదయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్తావతుల శ్రీమతి తమా కృష్ణ స్వామి నామినే నమ ఓం శ్రీ పదయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్తావతుల శ్రీమతి భక్తివేంత స్వామి నామినే నమస్తే శారీ గౌరవాన్ని ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. వి గాట్ టు రీడ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కాంటో 1 చాప్టర్ 11 లార్డ్ కృష్ణస్ ఎంట్రన్స్ ఇంటు ద్వారక. Text 1. Suta uvacha anartan sa upavrajye sridan janapadan svakan dadmau taravaram tesham vishadam samayan iva anartan sa upavrajye. No, chant with me next time. Translation: Suta Goswami said, upon reaching the border of his most prosperous metropolis, known as the country of the Anarthas, Dwaraka, the Lord sounded his auspicious conch shell, heralding his arrival and apparently pacifying the dejection of the inhabitants. So the Lord is coming and he is announcing himself. He's coming, and at the same time the people are, it says here, they are dejected because they've been in separation, so therefore they're feeling dejected. Now they'll feel happy because he's coming. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes about two lines down, when the Lord descends on the earth, his eternal associates also come with him, just as the entourage of a king accompanies him. Such associates of the Lord are eternally liberated souls, and they cannot bear the separation of the Lord even for a moment because of intense affection for the Lord. So that's the reason they are feeling like that, mood of dejection. So the Lord pacifies by giving them a signal that he is coming. So in the word, in the words, when the word Dharavaram, it means it's actually his conch shell, name Panchajanya. Okay. So text 2. Saucha khase davalo daro daro bhivuru kramasya daraso na sonima dadmayamana karakanja sampute yatabja kande kalahansa utsavana. The white and fat, bowled conch shell being gripped by the hand of Lord Krishna and sounded by him appeared to be reddened by the touch of his transcendental lips. It seemed that a white swan was playing in the stems of red lotus flowers. Very nice description there. Conch shell. Conch shell represents Vishnu. And conch shell is a place where Lakshmi actually resides. Its auspiciousness and so on. What's that? Is it working? Okay. So, as I was saying, conch shells. generally they are known as Dakshini Varta Shankh, and they are what you call Sri Lakshmi Shankh, they call it. Or in Tamil they call it Valampuri Shankh. Yeah, so when you put the conch shell with the point up, then if it's normally you get is the anti-clockwise one, which is left hand turn. But the Dakshini Varta Shankh is actually right hand, and that's very rare. You don't get many of it. It's very rare. The one you use in most temples are from Florida area and so on. The genuine one it comes from Indian Ocean, and it's of a different species. They occur among conch shells, one in 100,000. Then you get this, which is right turning. Valampuri.
But Krishna had a Valampuri. Did he have that?
Well, if you wait and listen. Is that okay? Okay, so it's always like white in color, okay? And they have five turns. And when it has five turns, it is known as Panchajanya. And it's very rare.
Five turns?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's completely snow white. So it's very rare, and usually they cost close to like $20,000, or I don't know, depends in India. Yeah, about 20,000 or more. That you get a very medium sized one, costs about $20,000. Yeah. If it's a Valampuri Shankh, Panchajanya is very rare, even rarer than Valampuris.
Valampuri is the Dakshinavarta?
Yes, they're all Dakshinavarta. Just more 5 twirls or 1, 2 twirl like that, or 3 twirls, right? Very small ones are also there, but they are very rare also. Most of these nowadays very rare to get the right turning conch. Very difficult to get those things. So
they're supposed to be more auspicious.
They are auspicious. That's why they are called Dakshinavarti conch shell. If you worship them, it is said that it is the abode of Lakshmi. And so anyone who uses that to bathe the deities, they will say that you can go back to Godhead like that. But if you chant Hare Krishna, you can go back to Godhead. So don't try to go and look for one of these. Don't waste your time. But in some temples in India, you can see them on the altar. So maybe you can look at it, and when you get there, if they let you. So the Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada writes, the Lord is present in every particle of all existence, and He can manifest His presence from anything and everything by the spiritual enlightenment of the devotee. Otherwise, He reserves the right of not being exposed to anyone and everyone. By ardent love and devotional service to the Lord, or in other words, by spiritual contact with the Lord, everything becomes spiritually reddened like the conch shell in the grip of the Lord, and the Paramahansa, or the supremely intelligent person, plays the part of the ducking swan in the water of spiritual bliss, eternally decorated by the lotus flower of the Lord's feet. So that's very nice. Okay, text 3. Tam upasrutya ninadam jagadbaya bayavam pratyudyuyu praja sarva bratri darshana lalasaha. The citizens of Dwaraka, having heard that sound which threatens fear personified in the material world, began to run towards him fast, just to have a long desired audience with the Lord, who is the protector of all devotees. So they have been living without for Krishna for some time. So now when they heard the conch shell, they got excited. So they run to see them. Just like the gopis, they think of Krishna all the time. Whenever they see him come from his cowherding, they run to see him also. So in the same way, The Dwarkavasis also feel the same way. So in the first purport, at the end of the paragraph, Srila Prabhupada writes, the Krishna of Kurukshetra and the Krishna of Dwarka are one and the same personality. Sometimes people say they are different person, but that's not true. It's the same Krishna in different mood. The citizens of Dwarka were thus in a state of melancholy due to the Lord's absence from the transcendental city, as much as we are put into a state of melancholy at night because of the absence of the sun. The sun heralded by Lord Krishna was something like the heralding of the sunrise in the morning. So all the citizens of Dwarka work from a state of slumber because of the sunrise of Krishna, and they all hasten towards him just to have an audience. The devotees of the Lord know no one else as protector. So they have so much love and they're feeling so much separation. So when they heard that, they feel the sun has risen from the night. Okay. So just like the sound they heard from the conch shell, it awakened them. Srila Prabhupada also writes in the purport that we are also fearful. But we are fearful because of our ignorance of what is our goal in life, how we can live in this material world, and so on. The whole material existence, Prabhupada says, is full of problems, and thus the fear problem is always prominent. Oh, how am I going to do this? Who's going to do that like that? This is due to our association with illusory energy of the Lord, known as Maya or external energy. Yet all fear is vanished as soon as there is the sound of the Lord, represented by His holy name, as it was sounded by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the following 16 words. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We can take advantage of these sounds and be free from all threatening problems of material existence. So as Prabhupada says, we don't have to get fearful, because the conch is supposed to give fear to material existence. That's why he blew that.
Usually, some people say you should not keep a picture of Krishna blowing conch.
People say so many things. Nowadays, people are crazy.
You say that you must not have a book of Mahabharata in your house because
you'll have a Mahabharata in your house. It's all nonsense.
Picture the war, picture family members recommended you should not. So initially, like 4 or 5 years, should you put it or not?
It's called what? It's called, all this are called ignorance.
Ignorance.
Yeah, nonsense, ignorance. How can having Krishna and Arjuna? Sanjay says, wherever there's Krishna and Sanjay, all auspicious, prosperity, opulence. And these people don't know anything. Text 4 and 5. Tatropanita balayo raver deepam ivadritaha atma ramam purnam kamam jaladena nityada. Riti utpulla mukha prokyur harsha gadgadaya gira vitaram sarva suridam avitaram ivarbakaha. The citizens arrived before the Lord with their respective presentations, offering them to the fully satisfied and self-sufficient one who by his own potency incessantly supplies others. Nitya Nityanana Chaitana Chaitanana. So these presentations are like the lamp offered during worship of the sun. Yet the citizens began to speak in ecstatic language to receive the word, just as wards welcome their guardian and father. Okay, the Lord is described as self-sufficient, Atmaram, self-satisfied. He doesn't need anything from anyone because he can manufacture whatever he wants. So no matter what is given to the Lord, it actually cannot be compared because he can actually create anything for his own pleasure. But because Srila Prabhupada says, because he's the well-wisher for one and all, he accepts from everyone everything that is offered to him in pure devotional service. It is not that he is in want for such things, because the things are themselves generated from his energy. So the comparison Prabhupada wants to highlight to us is the comparison is made herein that making offerings to the Lord is something like offering a lamp in the worship of the sun god. Because the sun god is already fiery, you show a lamp is like small lamp, to ghee lamp to the sun god, it's like that. But because out of affection, the sun god accepts it like that. So in the same way, the Lord accepts it out of affection. So Prabhupada then writes in the next paragraph, the Lord is the Supreme Father of all living beings, and therefore those who are conscious of this vital relation with God can make filial demands from the Father. So sometimes, you know, we ask things from Krishna, and the Father is pleased to supply the demands of such obedient sons without bargaining. So the sons or daughters must be obedient, then the Father will reciprocate. Generally, children think the father is like a desire tree. Parents are like desire tree, right? Whatever you want, they give, right? Right? Not all the time. Nowadays, not all. But generally, but they think like that.
Seasonal.
But they think that they can give whatever they want. So, if it is not good for the child, the parents won't buy. So, Prabhupada says, as the Supreme Father, the Lord, however, does not supply to a pure devotee what is considered to be a barrier to the discharge of devotional service. Okay, so text 6. Nata smate nata sadangri pankajam virinchi vairinchya surendra vanditam parayanam kshemam ihichatam param Nayatra kala prabhavar para prabhu. The citizen said, O Lord, now the citizens are glorifying the Supreme. So you see, almost every chapter there's some glorification. O Lord, you are worshipped by all demigods like Brahma, the four sanas, and even the King of Heaven. You are the ultimate rest for those who are really aspiring to achieve the highest benefit of life. You are the Supreme Transcendental Lord, and inevitable time cannot exert its influence upon you. So again, it's glorifying the position of Krishna, that he is not an ordinary person. He is the Supreme Personality of God. So Vairinchya means the four Kumaras. And then Param Parayanam means he is the Supreme Shelter, and particularly his lotus feet. And he is the master of Brahma and others, para prabhu. So, and time has no power. He is superior to time itself. Text 7. Bhava yanastvam bhava vishva bhavana tvam eva mata tasuritpati pita tvam sadguru na paramam cha daivatam Yasyanu vritya kritino babu vima. O Creator of the universe, you are our mother, well-wisher, Lord, Father, spiritual master, and worshipable deity. By following in your footsteps, we have become successful in every respect. We pray, therefore, that you continue to bless us with your mercy. Bhavaya means for welfare. Bhavaha shemi samsare. It's a word like that. Means bhava means welfare and material existence. So therefore they are asking for his blessings. So Prabhupada says, why they are asking this? We can understand by the purport. The personality of Godhead, he creates a universe, but at the same time, he also plans for the good of all living beings. That means he gives all facilities for them. But the only thing is, they don't understand that the facilities are not meant for enjoyment. So therefore, there's a problem there. Unless we understand that the facilities are meant for our spiritual emancipation, then we will always get confused by the material nature. So our relationship with Krishna is always eternal. It can neither be broken nor vanquished. It may be forgotten for the time being, but it can be revived also by the grace of the Lord if we follow His injunctions which are revealed in the scriptures of all times and all places. Text 8. Aho sanata bhavatasma yadvayam trivistapanam apiduradarshanam premasmita snigda nirikshanananam pasyema rupam tava sarvasobhagam. Translation. Oh, it is our good luck that we have come again today under your protection by your presence. Although your lordship is rarely visited even by the denizens of heaven, now it is possible for us to look upon your smiling face, which is full of affectionate glances. We can now see your transcendental form full of all auspiciousness. Okay, the Lord in His eternal personal form can be seen only by the pure devotees. Now, in the middle of the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, the inhabitants, or towards the end, the inhabitants of Dwaraka, because of their being pure devotees, without any tinge of the material contamination of fruitive activities and empiric philosophical speculation, can see Him face to face by the grace of the Lord. This is the original state of the living entities and can be attained by reviving our natural and constitutional state of life, which is discovered by devotional service only. All right. So that what the point is that the inhabitants are already attained that stage. At the same time, Srila Prabhupada says you can come to this stage by performing devotional service, and you have to get rid of all these material contaminations of fruitive activities and philosophical speculation. Because we have tendency to have jnana and then think that we know better. Right? So that's one of the points Srila Prabhupada wants to highlight here. Ananya Bhakti. Yeah, chapter 9. Okay. Text 9. Yarhi ambujaksha pasasara bhavan kuru madunvata suridhidrikshaya tatrabda koti pratimakshano bhavad ravim vinakshno reva nastavachuta. O lotus eyed Lord, whenever you go away to Mathura, Vrindavan, or Hastinapur to meet your friends and relatives, every moment of your absence seems like millions of years. O infallible one, at that time our eyes become useless as if bereft of sun. That's a Shikshastakam also. Govindehe Virename. O Lord Govinda, you know, the moment seems like, yes, hundreds and thousands of millions of years. Yeah. So the same way, they feel the same way because of their attachment to Krishna. So generally it's like that, even in mundane sense. Lovers, when they see each other, they feel so happy. But when they cannot see, they feel that time is too long. They cannot take it. So they feel it's so unnecessarily too long. So therefore, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, towards the end, it is necessary that we must always be in the sight of Lord Krishna so that we can see both ourselves and the Lord with His different energies. As we cannot see anything in the absence of the sun, so also we cannot see anything, including our own self, without the factual presence of the Lord. Without Him, all our knowledge is covered by illusion. So anything we do, how we do, Krishna must be in the center. We can deny it, but when we deny it, we get covered by illusion or material nature. Otherwise, we should be able to see everything in its correct perspective, why this thing is happening, and we won't be disturbed, even in the material lifestyles we lead. Text 10. Katam vayam nata chirosite tvayi prasanna drishya kilatapasoshanam jivemate sundaraha sashobitam apasyamana vadanam manoharam iti chodirita vachaha prajanam bhakta vatsala srinvano nugraham dishya vitanvan pravishat puram. O Master, if you live abroad all the time, then we cannot look at your attractive face, whose smiles vanquish all our sufferings. How can we exist without your presence? Upon hearing their speeches, the Lord was very kind to the citizens, and the devotees entered the city of Dwaraka and acknowledged all their greetings by casting his transcendental glance all over them. Purport. Lord Krishna's attraction is so powerful that once been attracted by him, one cannot tolerate separation from him. Why is this so? Because we are all eternally related with him. So that is the reason why. It's not for any other reason. We are all part and parcel of Krishna, and therefore when we are away from him, we are never happy. But as soon as we see Krishna, we are attracted to him. But because we are covered, sometimes we see him inimically. But if we are performing devotional service, then we see him factually. And then we get attracted to him. And that attraction, once you are attracted, that's it. You cannot get out of that attraction. So no matter what you do, you'll always have that attraction. Even if you deny Krishna. So that's a very nice prayer. Text 11. Madhuboja dashasharha kukurandaka vrishnibhi atmatulya valer guptam nagair bhogavatim iva. As Bhogavati, the capital of Nagaloka, is protected by the Nagas, so was Dwaraka protected by the descendants of Vrishni. Boja, Madhu, Dasharha, Arha, Kukura, Andaka, etc., who were as strong as Lord Krishna. So its descendants of Vrishni are very strong, and they are as powerful as the Lord, in so much as military strength like that. Text 12. Sarva vibhava punya vriksha latashramai udyano pavana ramair vrita padmakara sriyam. The city of Dwaraka Puri was filled with the opulences of all seasons. There were hermitages, orchards, flower gardens, parks, and reservoirs of water, breathing lotus flowers all over. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada gives a very nice description of how Dwaraka Dham is. So we can ask you, give a description of Dwaraka Dham, and you should be able to give us this description. And in comparison with the modern society, how does it differ? Okay. Why one place is this way and why the other place is like that. So in the next five verses, Dwaraka Dham is described. Text 13. Gopura dwara margeshu krita kautuka toranam chitra dvaja pataka grair anta prati hata tapam. The city gateway, the household doors and festooned arches along the roads were all nicely decorated with festive signs like plantain trees and mango leaves, all to welcome the Lord. Flags, garlands and signs painted with slogans all combined to shade the sunshine. So you can just imagine so many decorations, like Diwali.
And recently, people in India also used to always plant and tree.
Yes. But now only in temples they do that. People are now getting very impious, so they are not doing that. Text 14. Samvajita Mahamarga Ratya Panaka Chatvaram Siktam Ganda Jalair Utpam Pala Pushpak Shatak Satan Kurai. The highways, subways, lanes, markets and public meeting places were all thoroughly cleansed and then moistened with scented water, and to welcome the Lord, fruits, flowers and unbroken seeds were strewn everywhere. As soon as they heard his conch shell, they all brought all this thing, scented water and so on. So they had all this kind of a system where they can throw mist water, and then the breeze, the scented perfume water goes through the whole city like that, in the highways and so on. So it's very smart.
What is the strewn? Huh? What is the word strewn? Thrown.
It's a past tense. So. In all English. Huh?
We are throwing flowers, but here it's also said fruits, throwing fruits.
Yeah, they throw. No, actually flowers and unbroken seeds were strewn everywhere. Okay. And fruits were also there, here and there. Why? They can't throw?
Just like in our temple, during the Janmashtami or something, we see.
They do, right? When the cart goes, you throw flowers, fruits, coconut, everything you throw, right? You don't throw coconut?
In our town, when some chariot of demigods pass, they throw bananas.
Yeah.
And then the people who take the cart, they eat it.
Prabhupada writes, towards the end, and to welcome the Lord, such flowers and fruits with unbroken seeds of grain were also strewn over the public places. Unbroken seeds of grain or fruits in the seedling stage were considered auspicious, and they are still so used by the Hindus in general on festival days. So it's considered auspicious. Just that we don't, maybe they didn't want to clean. After many generations, they felt it was dirtying, so they stopped throwing fruits. But the old system is they throw fruits, everything. Dates, they used to throw all those things, dates and dry fruits and all. When I was a little boy, I remember they used to throw all that. But mainly nowadays, is fashion is flowers, you know. Yeah, even seeds they don't throw anymore. Maybe it's because GMO seeds they don't use.
Yeah, Tom, still every 6 months there's a festival.
Uh-huh.
12 days in a row, yeah, of course, it's demigod Lord Murugan comes.
Mm.
And it's every day it's a different vehicle. You know, he comes in a different
rat.
And every day it's like a big festival. They clean the entire road, you know, I can clean the whole district. They clean the entire road, they put it water, they put nice decorations, and then they. The entire street, you know, we are living in the Rathaya, it's called South Car Street.
Mm.
You know, four streets, car streets, and then they put the whole coconut leaf,
right,
bundle, and then
planting trees on the sides of the road.
And then
yeah,
they have coconut flowers, coconut flowers, fresh coconut flowers, they put
right
every day, even now.
Yeah, those days are not practiced much anymore, but. It is there. These are how they used to worship the deities. Yeah, Vedic system. Yeah. Text 15. Dwari dwari grihanam cha dadhyakshata kalakshubihi alankritam purna kumbair balibir dupadipakai. In each and every door of the residential houses, auspicious things like curd, unbroken fruits, sugar cane and full water pots with articles for worship, incense and candles were all displayed. And they used to do that also. Prabhupada writes in the end of the purport, without distribution of food, no function is complete, and that is the way of Vedic culture. So you have to distribute food. And if there's brahmanas, you have to give them something in charity. Texts 16 and 17. Nisamya prestam ayantam vasudevo mahamanaha akruras chograsenascha ramas chadbuta vikramaha pradyumnas charudesnascha sambo sambhavati sutaha praharsha vegocha sita sayanasana bojanaha. On hearing the most dear Krishna was approaching Dwarka Dham, magnanimous Vasudeva, Akrura, Ugrasena, Balarama, the superhumanly powerful, Pradyumna, Charudesna, and Samba, the son of Jambavati, all extremely happy, abandoned resting, sitting, and dining. So, stopped anything and they all came rushing. Now, in the Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada talks about each of these personalities. I'm not going to go into that. You can read it. I think Balaram came earlier. It would appear that way. I think after he left because of the battle between Duryodhana and Bhima, he didn't like that, so he left. And then on his way, then he probably got rid of Romash and text 18.
So Vasudeva was the king
father
in Dwarka. Was he?
Ugrasena.
Ugrasena was in Mathura, right?
Yeah,
moved.
Okay.
They moved, no?
You're still in Janmathura.
Remember, they moved because of so many problems with Jarasandha.
Oh, they built a fort.
Yeah, so they moved. All right, text 18. Varanendram puraskritya brahmanai sasumangalai shankaturya ninadena brahma gosena chadritaha pratyujagmuratarishta pranayagata sadvasaha. They hastened toward the Lord on chariots with brahmanas bearing flowers and other auspicious items. Before them were elephants, emblems of good fortune. Conch shells and bugles were sounded and the Vedic hymns were chanted. Thus they offered their respects, which were saturated with affection. Okay. So all these are supposed to be there when we do welcoming to someone who you consider to be highly elevated personality. Sometimes nowadays, for marriage, they do all these things in India, right? They bring elephant, put the groom on top of the elephant or the horse or whatever, all nonsense. So they say that for one day, the groom is like a king. Because after that, he will be a slave, something like that.
But you were saying that that's the last chance for the groom to run. Run, then he's trapped for life.
Yeah. Well, hopefully there's a fast horse. If he wants to run. But elephants are considered to be good fortune. All these are all good things for the persons doing it. And you need qualified brahmanas chanting the mantras, so on. Yeah. For us, basically, we chant the Hare Krishna mantra. We're not so worried about the Vedic hymns, because everything is in the Hare Krishna mantra. So when Prabhupada says such a program of reception is full of sincerity on the part of both the receiver and the received. So when you want to do it, you do it favorably. Don't just do it because somebody forced you to do it. Text 19. Vara mukhyascha satasho yanaistadasha notsukaha lasat kundala nirvata kapolo vadana sriyaha. At the same time, many hundreds of well-known prostitutes began to proceed on various vehicles. They were all very eager to meet the Lord, and their beautiful faces were decorated with dazzling earrings which enhanced the beauty of their foreheads. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, we may not hate even the prostitutes if they are devotees of the Lord. So it may seem like people hate prostitutes. That's what it appears. That means even if the person is a prostitute, we shouldn't hate them because if they are devotees of the Lord. Even to date, that means even when Prabhupada's time, there were many prostitutes in great cities of India who were sincere devotees of the Lord. By tricks of chance, one may be obliged to adopt a profession which is not very adorable in society, but that does not hamper one in executing devotional service to the Lord. Devotional service to the Lord is uncheckable in all circumstances. It is understood herewith that even in those days, about 5,000 years ago, there were prostitutes in a city like Dwaraka. Okay. Prabhupada says there's a necessity for prostitutes to be in so that it'll keep some class of men in check. Otherwise, they will do havoc in society. So it says, Prabhupada says, it is better the prostitutes be available in the marketplace so that the sanctity of society can be maintained. It is better to maintain a class of prostitutes than to encourage prostitutes within society, which is what's happening now. But he says the real reformation is to enlighten all people to become devotees of the Lord, and that will check all kinds of deteriorating factors of life. So Prabhupada already explained why some people become prostitutes. So he feels we shouldn't look down on them, and due to some past karma they do that. Then he gives an example how even our acharya, Bilwa Mangal Thakur, one of the acharyas, in the Vishnu Swami Vaishnava line, he also was attached to a prostitute. But through the instruction of the prostitute Chintamani, he got to understand that he was wasting his life, and he became a great acharya. And then in the next paragraph, Srila Prabhupada says, in the Bhagavad Gita 9.32, interestingly, 9.32 is the verse, is Mam hi partha vyapasritya ye pisyu papa yonaha Sriyo Vaishyas Tata Shudras Tepi Yanti Param Gatim. O son of Pritha, those who take shelter of me, though they may be of lower birth, women, Vaishyas, merchants, and Shudras can attain the supreme destination. So it says Striya means woman. But here Srila Prabhupada writes, O son of Pritha, even the low-born Chandalas and those who are born in a family of unbelievers and even the prostitutes, interesting, no? Shall attain perfection of life if they take shelter of unalloyed devotional service to me, because in the path of devotional service there are no impediments due to degraded birth and occupation. The path is open for everyone who agrees to follow it. So sometimes, you know, unless we understand properly, you know, when people read, they say, why are women considered less intelligent? But actually, in this verse, according to Prabhupada, it is not women, it's prostitutes. So there may be a reason why the translation is like that. Or in the Bhagavad Gita, he puts it like that. So it appears that the prostitutes of Dwaraka who were so eager to meet the Lord were all his unalloyed devotees. So they were pure devotees. And thus they were all on the path of salvation according to the above version of the Bhagavad Gita. So they are pure, even though we may not accept it.
I think even during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, there were, I don't know what is the Devadasis in the temple, I don't know.
They were specially trained to just for the pleasure of the deities. And later on, it got degraded.
Okay.
Yes, other purposes. Text 20. Nata nartaka gandharvaha suta magara vandinaha gayanti chottama shloka charitani adbhutani cha. Expert dramatists, artists, dancers, singers, historians, genealogists, and learned speakers all gave their respective contributions, being inspired by the superhuman pastimes of the Lord. Thus they proceeded on and on. So all these people did drama in front of the Lord, started glorifying him, singing, talking about his genealogy, where he was born, what he did. So those days they did all this for the king. All these were common things those days, but nowadays it's not like that. Nowadays you cannot glorify people because they got all kinds of nonsense they do. So you cannot publicly tell them, this guy is a rascal, he did this. So it's useless. So they cannot do all that. If you watch most movies, it depicts all the rascaldom in the society. Text 21. Bhagavans tatra bandunam poranam anuvartinam yata viddi upasangamya sarvesham manam adade. Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, approached them and offered due honor and respect to each and every one of the friends, relatives, citizens and all others who came to receive and welcome him. So in the second part of the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, he is always attentive to all the matters of his pure devotees. So Krishna is always attentive. There are others who designate him as impersonal, and so the Lord also does not take any personal interest. Ye yatamam prapadyanti tam sataiva bhajamyaham. He satisfies everyone in terms of one's development of spiritual consciousness, and a sample of such reciprocation is exhibited here with his different welcomers. So according to the different age groups and so on, he reciprocated. Text 22. Prava vivada naslesha karasparsha smitekshanai ashvasya chasva pakebhyo varaischa vimatair vibhu. The Almighty Lord greeted everyone present by bowing his head, exchanging greetings, embracing, shaking hands, looking and smiling, giving assurances and awarding benedictions even to the lowest in rank. So according, this is etiquette. You know, equals, someone who's older than him, he bow down, exchange greetings, embracing is equal, shaking hands equal, looking and smiling, you know, all these things. So these are different ways he reciprocated. Alright, text 23. Swayam cha guru ve viprai sadarai stavirai rapi asirbir yujyamanonyar vandivischa visatpuram. Then the Lord personally entered the city, accompanied by elderly relatives and invalid brahmanas with their wives, all offering benedictions and singing the glories of the Lord. Others also praise the glories of the Lord.
Yeah. So it is said that when Krishna was present, only a handful could recognize him as the personality of God. So, like, I mean, it looks like many, many
people. Because Dwarka, Mathura, Dham and Vrindavan, all these personalities are pure devotees. Okay. Outside of them, the greater part of people couldn't understand him. Yeah. Yeah. So all this, they actually glorified the Lord. They may meant whatever they are saying, and also you can see in this description how elderly people were also still there. Not like. In some countries, they don't want elderly people or invalid people, you know, handicapped, they don't want them to come in the procession like that. But you can see they all are treated equally well. Text 24. Raja margam gate krishne dwarakaya kulastriya harmyani aruruhur vipra tar ikshana mahotsavaha. When Lord Krishna passed over the public roads, all the ladies from the respectable families of Dwaraka went up to the roofs of their palaces just to have a look at the Lord. They considered this to be the greatest festival. They see the Lord so much, but still you can see it ever increasingly. Yeah? And just like when the Lord left Hastinapur, all the ladies were also on the rooftops and along the road. They were also, so now also you see that. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, to have a look at the Lord is a great festive occasion, undoubtedly, as it was considered by the metropolitan ladies of Dwaraka. This is still followed by the devout ladies of India. Especially during the days of Julan and Janmashtami ceremonies, the ladies of India still throng up in the greatest number at the temple of the Lord, where His transcendental eternal form is worshipped. The transcendental form of the Lord installed in the temple is not different from the Lord personally. Such a form of the Lord is called Archa Vigraha. or Archa incarnation, and is expended by the Lord by his internal potency just to facilitate the devotional service of his innumerable devotees who are in the material world. So, you know, to come to see the Lord is a great thing, you know. That's why when we have temple, we should go every day to see. Srila Prabhupada, in his Lilamrita, he says that when he was in the Radha Damodar temple, every morning there used to be an old lady who'd come with a pot of water to wash the steps and so on. Even in winter, she would go and fetch the water and come. So every day. Why? Because for her, it was a festive occasion every day. So it is very important for us to observe festivals so that at least we get some festive mood. Otherwise, we should observe it every day. Okay?
I visited Jaipur once. There is Hawa Mahal. So it has a lot of windows. Like, I mean, the wall itself looks like a, you know, it's made up of windows. So the men used to stay down and worship the Lord, and the women used to see from the windows up.
Mm.
So that was the arrangement.
Yes. Nice. Yeah, those, they had some system, some social system that helped both parties. You know, nowadays, they don't want to help each other.
So the purport says, the previous one, that Brahmanas would never bank money, and when they became old, then they would go in shelter of the king.
Yeah.
Nowadays, because there is no shelter of that kind, is it okay that the Brahmanas wants to?
No? He says there are no Brahmanas. Well, ideally, they're not supposed to beg. Yeah. But charity, they can take charity. Yeah. And then use it in charity also. Yeah. So people should be educated enough to give charity to Brahmanas. Yeah. Okay, then in the last paragraph, Srila Prabhupada writes, the ladies got up on the roofs just to have a look at the procession and the Lord. The ladies did not mix with the crowd on the street, and thus their respectability was perfectly observed. There was no artificial equality with the men. Female respectability is preserved more elegantly by keeping the woman separate from the man. The sexes should not mix unrestrictedly. So Srila Prabhupada makes his nice statement. Text 25. Nityam nirikshamananam yadapi dwaraka ukasham na vitripyantihi drishaha suyodamangam achyutam. The inhabitants of Dwaraka were regularly accustomed to look upon the reservoir of all beauty, the infallible Lord, yet they were never satiated. So you cannot get, so when you, that's the thing, when you see the Lord in the temple, you cannot say that that's it, you know, you're not attracted anymore. You must feel that you want to see more of the Lord. So that's also a sign of advancement. So in the purport, towards the end, Srila Prabhupada writes, his body is the source of everything that be, the reservoir of all beauties beyond our experience. No one, therefore, is satiated by seeing the transcendental body of the Lord, because there are always manifestations of newer and newer beauties. The transcendental name, form, qualities, entourage, etc. are all spiritual manifestations, and there is no satiation in chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no satiation in discussing the qualities of the Lord, and there is no limitation of the entourage of the Lord. He is the source of all and is limitless. So the mood should be like that. You should feel great. Okay, maybe we'll take 5 minutes break here. Satisfaction. Yeah, fully satisfied.